you see the number one here. We're still in Pisces. Everybody find Pisces. It's the seventh of the 12 signs. And it's this weird sign that has two fish tied together with band or ribbon. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And then it has the three sub-signs are, or decans, or one is the band itself is one of the sub-signs. And then Andromeda is the other sub-sign. And then Cepheus is the third sub-sign. It's right sort of above the crowned king that's right at the almost at the center.
Yeah.
He's upside down.
Cepheus. Close to touching the snake.
But last week, we just did a quick review. We saw that all of the references to the fish in the New Testament with regard to Christ said we'd be like fishers of men. And he said also that the kingdom of God is like unto a net that's thrown into the river or to the sea. And in that net are both the good kind of fish and the bad kind of fish. But within that net is the church and the visible church. And then within the within that net of the visible church is the invisible church, because not everybody in the net is part of the church, because they continue on in their own self-seeking. We saw that in the ancient cultures, the Christians were called fish, Ithacus. That wasn't just the sign they used when they drew a picture in the sand. They were called fish. We studied a bunch of scriptures about that. Pisces is made up of two great fish. One, and they're tied together by the band, and notice it. One of the fish is pointing directly north, up to the North Star, and the other fish is following the sun in the ecliptic. See, everybody see it?
Mm-hmm.
Now what that means, at any given time since man existed, there were those that had died that were in the church. The scriptures are clear. It says that Abel was the first prophet, the first member of the church. And all of the ancient saints that saw Christ in the offerings are part of that ancient church. And so that at any given time, the ones that have already died in Christ are the ones that are the fish that's pointed directly north.
Going home.
Going home. And then all of the other fish that are following the sun are part of the alive church. Now there's a great controversy. There's a lot of people that say there couldn't have been a church before Christ. Well, that's just not true. But the interesting thing about this band is that both fish are tied together so that they can't move without the other. And we'll get into that more detail in a minute.
May I ask you something, though?
Sure.
I mean, I don't doubt what you're saying about there can't be a... You know, I mean, people say there can't be a church before Christ, but, I mean, what scriptures would you... I mean, any scriptures come to mind?
Oh, sure, we'll get them. We'll get those in a second. Now, the interesting thing about the band, I want you to see two things. notice that the band is tied to this monster cetus
in
his neck.
Yeah.
But it's also the Ares or the ram has his leg over the band. Mm-hmm. And so even though the appearance of being in bondage to Cetus by being tied to his neck, the lamb is still in control. And we'll see it more clearly in the next icon after the band, which is Andromeda. We see the woman chained, which is the bride chained.
Yeah.
Okay?
So Andromeda is a woman?
Andromeda is the woman.
See it very well. Almost looks like a beard there.
Yes, yes.
And then, but let's.
No, that's her garment. Yeah.
The most ancient of temples that still exist is the temple at Dendera in Egypt. And it's from several thousand years BC. And it has all of these signs in a ceiling in a planetarium. And it has all of the signs that we have here now. And the name of this sign in the Egyptian name is Pikat Hori. And it's that the literal name of that means the fishes of him who cometh. In Hebrew, the name of the sign is Dagim, which is the fishes. And let's just look at a couple of scriptures about that. Let's go to Genesis 48.
So the Egyptian is the fishes of him who cometh?
Yeah, that's the Egyptian name. Genesis 48, I think. Yeah. This is when he blessed Joseph, in verse 15. And he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, did walk, the God who fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and let the name of my father Abraham and Isaac, and the name of my father Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. In the original text, it says, let them grow into a multitude as fishes in the midst of the earth. Hmm. And then we'll look at one more in Ezekiel 47. This is the river flowing from the temple, and this is a picture of really the water pouring out from Aquarius. And we've talked about this before, but the water flows out, and at first it was at his ankle level, and then it went up to his knees, and then it kept increasing. And then in verse 9, and it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come there, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. This is the picture here is the rivers of living water that Christ spoke of, but it's also, why did they stick fishes in the middle of this? It's because of the sign. Again, and it shall come to pass that everything that liveth with moveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. There shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, and they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh.
And the next forgive me for reading ahead, but the fishers, and it keeps talking about it.
Yeah, and it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from En Gedi even unto En Eglaim. They shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. Anyhow, and this is well known, the fish were also, they were a type of Israel in the Old Testament, and they're a type of the church in the New Testament. Okay? Everybody see that? That's something you normally wouldn't even pay any attention to, right?
Yeah, sorry.
Well, what brought it to your attention? I'm curious.
What?
These verses, you know, relating to the...
Because I studied the scripture to find all places where fishes were talked about.
Yeah, there you are. Okay, good.
All right. Now, the Syrian name is Nuno. N-U-N-O, and it means the fish lengthened. It stretched out as in its posterity. It's the fish and all the things that happen when fish do fish stuff. All right. Now the myths are interesting. In the first one, Venus and Cupid were on the banks of the Euphrates when they were confronted by the monster Typhon. Remember, Typhon was this evil guy that was in the last sign also, which is a type of Satan. To save themselves, they dove into the water and were transformed by the water into two fish. And then the wife of Zeus was so impressed with all that they made the signs in the heavens. The other myth is that Cupid, or Eros, was held to be the firstborn of creation and the cause informing the world by love. And that love brought harmony and order out of chaos. Well, that's... Those are the specific myths in Egypt and Rome, Greece and Rome, about these, about how the fish and what the fish were. So let's look at Colossians. This section of Colossians is one of my favorite sections. It's majestic beyond majestic. Remember, Eros was held to be the firstborn of creation. Well, this, the first part of it is, let's get this done, verse 10. In verse 9, for this is when he's praying. He says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated or transformed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, is what it specifically says. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And that's the same as the myth said. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. So, I mean, he is before all things. By him all things consist. He is the firstborn of all creation. The only place, the only enemy of God in time and space is the human mind. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Okay, that covers, just in general. You know what, let's just, for the kicks, let's go back and read these first few scriptures real quick. Let's go first to Matthew 13. Just to bring all these back in focus with a Pisces. Matthew 13, verse. Yeah, this is the one I said, verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So this net that, well, let's look at the rest of it. Let's go to Mark 1. I'll try to do them in order and just go one direction in your Bible. Verse 14. Well, let's go to 12. And immediately, this is where we're studying in the morning Bible study. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness after his baptism. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Now again, remember in John, the first miracle was turning the water into wine, which defined his ministry. He turned the water of the human race into the wine of Israel, or the wine of the bride. And here, the first thing he said to the disciples was, come and I will make you fishers of men, to preach the understanding of this whole mystery. It's locked up. All right, let's go to Luke 5. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so also was James and John and the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus saith unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. When they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. One more, John 21. Aren't you proud of me? We're only going in one direction.
Oh, that was nice.
Again, now it's after his resurrection, the first thing he does. They didn't recognize him when they saw him after his resurrection. This is the third time they'd seen him, third time they didn't recognize him after the resurrection, which is interesting. In verse 5, Jesus saith unto them, Children, have you any meat? And they answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes, etc., etc. So that's just a broad summary of what we've studied about Pisces. Okay, now remember, Abraham was born at the dawning, when the age of Taurus ended in the dawning of the age of Aries. Jesus was born at the dawning of the age of Pisces. We are now at the dawning of the age of Aquarius. As I've said, the age of Aquarius is intimately connected with the last celebration on the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles, which is the end. Okay? Everybody understand Pisces a little bit? Okay, let's go to the next. The first decan is the BAM. I'm going to start numbering my pages. That would be good.
The band is the connection between the fishes?
Right. The band is just that ribbon or connection. The Egyptian name of that sign from that temple in Dendera is Uar, which means he cometh. The Arabic name is Al-Risha, which means the band or the bridle. And the Hebrew name is, I don't remember, but it's just the ribbon. Now, the band speaks only of Christ and his relationship to his people. Now, I think the first thing we should do is study. Let's go to Hosea 11. Let's see if everybody can find Hosea. It's Daniel then. Hosea, Joel, Amos. Daniel's first book after the major prophets. Daniel is the first minor prophet. How many minor prophets are there?
I thought you had it, Jim. How many only?
That's your homework. You got to tell me next week.
You don't know, do you?
I do. It's 12. I think.
You tricked him.
No, let me check that.
That begs the question, how many major prophets?
The major prophets are?
Well, I'd say Jeremiah.
Isaiah. Jeremiah. Ezekiel.
Three.
Right.
Oh, that's not too much.
I think that's true.
So Daniel would be considered a minor prophet?
Yeah, Daniel is a minor prophet. I'm not going to worry about that.
What makes you a minor prophet?
Huh?
What makes you a minor? The number of pages in the Bible?
Probably the number of pages.
Well, Daniel should be a major prophet. He's a pretty good side book.
No, I mean, not compared to the others.
Jeremiah scribbled a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, Hosea chapter 11. This is the scripture that one of the 165 that proved he was Messiah. There are many others, but that's the ones he used. When Israel was a child, I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. as they called them, so they went from them, and they sacrificed unto Balaam and burned incense to graven images. I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I healed them. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke of their jaw on their jaws, and I laid meat or unto them or fed them. And it's the only reference that I could find that specifically talks about these cords or the bands. Mm. Well, as I said, the fish are bound to each other and the band is fastened to the neck of Cetus, the type of Satan. And so on the next day, Andromeda, the woman, is chained. And then Aries, in the next sign, we see he has his paws on the bands. Mm-hmm. So that they, and it's one of the things that the fact that Aries has the Aries is the lamb or the ram that has his paw on the bands. It's what really unites the two. You understand that what I'm saying? That unites the Old Testament and the New Testament. Hmm. Like the two fish are bound together inseparably so that one cannot get on without the other. So it is with the true Israel. Remember, we've talked often about this mystery of Israel. The word Israel, they say it means a prince of God. I think it doesn't mean that. I think it means she who sees God. Because the Hebrew word ish, or ish, is she. Ra, ra, is see. And el is God. So Israel, she who sees God. But you can't see God and live, according to the scriptures. And the phrase that we've studied many times, it's the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those are the three graces that God has given to all men to see God. I mean, you think you want to see God, but then you find out you can't see God and live. And that's not too, I didn't like that very much. So anyway, the first, the grace of Abraham. The ancient rabbis called it the grace of learning, but I think it's better could be called the grace of, I don't want to do that anymore. And so that's all Abraham did, is he went through life, followed his nose, and then kept going, I don't want to do that anymore. He made every mistake that he could make. Told two major leaders that his wife was his sister, almost caused her to be violated. But at the end, it took 100 years, at the end, he saw, and his name was changed from Abram to Abraham, and the ha in it is the breath of God. Same with Jacob. The faith of Jacob is the grace of the struggle. Everything's a fight. And the angel would not let Jacob go until he told him his name. He'd never used his name before that. And he said his name is Jacob. And Jacob means that Jacob is Hebrew for the way of the snake. That's not what this says in modern commentaries. They say it means the supplanter. Mm-hmm. But it means the way of the snake. When he confessed his name was Jacob, he confessed to the angel that he was the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. And as soon as he did, his name was changed from Jacob to Israel, she who sees God. The third grace is the grace of Isaac. It's the one everybody thinks they want. Instant revelation, but it costs you everything at that moment. So although all three graces are in all of us, but one is dominant in each one of us. Amen.
Amen.
So anyway, so they're bound. Well, let's go back. Let's answer your question about.
Oh, okay.
Let's go to Hebrews 11. See if this answers it. The pages of my Bible stick together. The whole of Hebrews 11 is what faith is. Verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, sought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted and slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And we certainly without them cannot be made perfect. Amen?
Yeah.
I'll find you some more if that doesn't.
I'm not doubting.
Okay.
I certainly believe that Old Testament saints are saved and they're part of the church, good.
So the whole human race is seen as the sea or the ocean. And all the fish are in the ocean. And they're all seeking their own. And that's what self-realization. And then there comes the fisher of men. They throw the net out. That's drawn in, and only the ones that they are fed only by the rivers of living water that give them life. But even in that net, they are no longer their own. They are bound with the bands around their tails in the image. But they're tied to Satan. But the lamb has his legs on them. So it means that everything that's happening, even the bond to Satan, is in the will of God. Amen? So, again, because Christ came not to destroy the law, he came to fulfill it. And in him, we fulfill the law. He was the only one that ever fulfilled it. He was the only one that ever kept the Sabbath perfectly. Let's go to John 15. This is another parable about the vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And the word clean there is the same word in Greek that we get for catharsis. And it means empty. Now you are empty. By the word that I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of or from itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now, obviously, people do stuff without him, but you can do nothing of eternal value without him. Man. So without me, you can do nothing of value. And you must be in the same relationship. And that's why we are tied together with the saints of the Old Testament and with each other. And then we are also under the control, from one standpoint, seemingly, of Satan. But in truth, we're under the control of the Lamb, for his leg is over the band, if you will. You see? Let's go to Isaiah 40, 41. Verse 9. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Again, it's all this thing about the lambs has his leg on the band that ties everything together. Amen? Amen. So the band itself is the first decan. And the next one is Andromeda, which is the woman in chains. And then the next one is Cepheus, which is the king crown. All right? Any questions or thoughts? I wish Sharon were here.
Well, I'm thinking about, Ruth, the relative has the right of first refusal, and that's the God of this world. Is that
right?
Can you elaborate on that a little bit? I mean, why does Satan have the first?
Because we're the near kinsman.
We're the near kinsman.
The human race is near kinsman to Satan than we are to Christ.
Okay.
And that's called the Levirate marriage, and it means that right now the law was our husband. Now the law's dead, so now there's a nearer kinsman that has the right of first or the Levirate marriage. And that's why these myths of changing themselves to protect themselves, they change themselves into fish or whatever, to protect themselves from Satan. But in us, we are the offscouring of the world. There's nothing about us that the world could admire.
After the law is dead, Satan is still...
Go to Romans 7.
Satan is still in the earth kingdom after the law is dead.
Romans 7. And Know you not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. No, therein we have a problem. I've been saying that for years because we don't know the law, so therefore we think that we make up crap. Right? You hear preachers just make up all kinds of ridiculous stuff. Know ye not, brethren, if I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, not in oldness of the letter. So that's the section. It's not that the law's dead, we are dead to the law. Same thing, though.
Yeah.
Okay. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. No, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, and this in Hebrew, in Greek, this is a shock. The commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Therefore the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and just and good. Now this next part reveals the struggle that you'll have for a while. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might be become exceeding sinful. Now, sin, remember we talked about this, sin isn't what you are. Sin isn't what you do, that's trespass. Sin is who you are. So there's no possibility in my life that I could have understood that I was sin. I mean, that just didn't, before I became a believer. But watch. And this, I'm going to target this, but for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I don't want to do. And that's what I don't want to do, that's what I do. But what I hate, that's what I do. If I do then that which I would not, or I don't want to do, I consent unto the law that it's good. That's a first, that was a huge thing for me. Before, I just said rules are for when brains are not. But when I became a believer, then if I did something that was against it, there was a big, something happened in me. That was huge. If I do then that which I don't want to do, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now that's not the devil made me do it kind of thing. It's seeing that you have to die in order for Christianity to be in your life. You cannot live your life according to your mind any longer. You cannot live your life according to the customs and ways and negative or positive that you held about yourself. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil that I don't want to do, that's what I do. Now if I do that which I don't want to do, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I do, when I want, to do good, the evil one is present with me. For I delight in the law after the of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Now, that phrase is about this, the penalty in the Roman Empire, where they tied a dead body, they chained a dead body to you face to face. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? That's it. Nobody delivers. You just thank God that Christ is your life. Amen?
Amen.
All right. I don't have anything else tonight. Anybody else?
Well, when we became believers, we started going to the church of the Man Who Witnessed to Me, and we spent 20 years there. And we became believers about the same time you did. But we spent 20 years over there trying to serve, and I say trying to serve in fleshly ways. We're trying to do what we thought were good things and what we were led to do. I don't say we didn't. I think, like you kind of alluded to, it's something you have to go through.
Sure.
And I think we learned a lot of you know, Bible stuff that's helpful even today. But I think we, at some point, it all just cratered. And we found out our daughter was already going over here, and I was curious about this place anyway. So when we came here then, we were able to see that, you know, you have to die.
Amen.
To even doing good things, you know, and then if you know, Christ wants to use you, it's his business.
Right, everything is his business. You've been bought with a price. You're not your own.
Yeah.
You can have no investment in anything and any outcome of anything.
Yeah.
And isn't it amazing? I mean, yeah, we became believers about the same time. You had instant knowledge, and it's taken us.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Yeah.
You had revelation. We had to.
I had to live under a bridge too.
Yeah,
I've had to be held hostage in Lebanon.
Yeah.
I had to get electrocuted.
I guess I wouldn't trade places.
Yeah.
But praise God, you're because you take the time and have the time maybe to study. You know, we benefit.
Yeah, well, the only reason I did all that is because I was trying to find a loophole.
Yeah.
I didn't like the fact that I had to die. That screwed my whole mind up. But there are no loopholes. But some of the crap that's preached in the name of God is just abhorrent to me. But it's all childish. I mean, it's just childish dribble. Anyhow, anybody have any prayer requests or needs? I'm starting to get another spasm, so pray for me.
All right. Oh, we hit the button. Now.